The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A little bird told me that you said you might be retiring, resigning the job this year. Say it isn't so. Is it true?
I don't know when I'm leaving. This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Obama.
Oops, I said the quiet part out loud again. You know, President Obama has been out of office for 5 years, supposedly. He's been out of office for 5 years, and still you hear slip-ups like this almost every week, maybe every couple weeks. And, of course, we'll dutifully play them for you. She's working for Barack Obama, no doubt about it. I bet she spends more time communicating with Obama than she does Biden himself. That's just speculation on my part. I bet you know the White House is full of Obama people. And she's probably in contact with them and Obama more than Joe Biden, the president, the fake president of the United States of America. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience on this Monday morning or Monday afternoon or evening, wherever you happen to be listening to the show, whether live or later through the podcast. You can get to our beautiful video stream in here from Edmond, Oklahoma, the wonderful set that we have here on campus. That's at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream. It plays at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States every weekday morning. And, of course, we also post the programs after the fact on that same page of the website, thetrumpet.com/live. We're also thankful to have our broadcast partner taking the audio stream of this program live on its platform, CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3 on the CRN platform. And then we've got some replays on Channel 3 and some replays on Channel 6 as well. You can get to the show through Roku. You can get to the show through the podcast feature with Apple devices. And I'm sure there's plenty of ways to do it with Android or PC, that kind of thing as well. So 5 years. 5 years he's been out of office. I can remember when my sister got married, and for about a year I kept calling her by our last name. And finally she said, you know, I've been married for almost a year, so you need to start calling me by my married name now. So I thought, I was in my 20s. It was just an old habit. And I finally thought, yeah, this is getting out of hand. This is going on for too long. But for 5 years, Barack Obama has supposedly been out of office. And there she, this is the White House press secretary. She speaks for Joe Biden. And still, she's making those little slip-ups. They always catch themselves right in the middle of Obama. Right there. Let's cut it off there. And then try to correct the statement. It really does confirm everything that we've been saying, not just about Jeroboam, the prophecy in 2 Kings, 14, but also about the end-time Antiochus spoken of in Daniel the prophet's book. And we wrote that booklet, my father did, back in 2013, America Under Attack. Gives you everything that you need to know about Antiochus, this attack on the United States. And, of course, God's given us so much more detail about Satan's efforts to blot out even the name of Israel. That's from 2 Kings 14. Again, you look at the Trumpet Magazine, or any of our booklets too, but you look at the Trumpet Magazine. This is the latest anniversary edition. I'll give you a short quote from this in just a second. But this is where you get tomorrow's news today. make sure that you call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and become a Trumpet subscriber. Speaking of tomorrow's news today, or you heard it here first, this clip from Fox News, I thought this was kind of funny. We'll just play this at the start here. This is Lisa Booth, I think is her name, a little comment that she made on one of the Fox shows, I believe on Saturday night, clip 9.
We are literally living in the land of the sheeple. I mean, what we've witnessed throughout COVID is the death of common sense in America.
The land of the sheeple. We were talking about that quite a while ago. One of you even sent a game called Sheeple, a board game. We played it once, a fun game with a big group. The land of the sheeple, people just following along. And of course, as we're seeing, though, more and more of them are waking up to what is happening. And even people that voted for Biden, independents, that didn't like Donald Trump's tweets. And now they look at what's happening in the United States of America. As I said recently, a dumpster fire inside of a dumpster fire. I mean, there is no good news. Biden and the press secretary will talk about how great everything is. But the truth is becoming more and more difficult to cover up. Listen to what Jen Psaki had to say last week for those that are unhappy with what's happening in Biden's America. This is clip 8.
So my advice to everyone out there who's frustrated, sad, angry, feel those emotions, go to a kickboxing class, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend.
If you're frustrated or angry, yeah, do some kickboxing. Look, this is not that big a deal. What, it reminds me of what Hillary said about Benghazi. You know, what difference does it make? We get four soldiers slaughtered all the time. It's just the United States of America. It's just the consulate or whatever those buildings were in Benghazi being overrun by all these terrorists and the United States doing absolutely nothing about it. And here the economy is collapsing in the U.S. And crime is just rampant. You're hearing more and more cases. Never mind what Brian Stelter said yesterday about, oh, this is just the crime statistics that Fox keeps showing. It's just an attack on Biden. It's the truth. Look at what's happening in New York City. Look at what's happening in Chicago. Look at Los Angeles and these trains coming in with all of these Amazon packages, and they're being ransacked by homeless people that know there's goods in these cargo cars. And then the debris left from just ripping apart all of the boxes and whatnot. And then what does Gavin Newsom have to say about it? He talked about the gangs that are raiding these trains that are destroying the city. And then he had to come and apologize later for using the word gang. Can't even use the word gang. Don't want to offend the woke people. You don't want to offend BLM. The feds are not going to infiltrate BLM or Antifa. No, they save that for these obscure groups, 3%ers or whatever they are. Crime and more just random. People going up to other people, other human beings, and shooting them in the back of the head for no good reason. There's no good reason for that at all. But they're not even, like with the guy that just knifed the woman to death in Los Angeles. In a furniture store, walks in, kills her, and he walks out. Doesn't rob the place, doesn't do anything, like any criminal behavior, except he just wanted to murder somebody. The demons, it's a heyday right now for the demons. We're seeing evidence of demon infestation in a lot of the big cities of the United States of America as murder rates just skyrocket, crime and violence. People that get away with looting because, well, if it's under $1,000 of merchandise, it's just a misdemeanor. Get a little slap on the wrist, we're right back on the streets. The nation just crumbling before our eyes. I mean, it is. Second Kings 14 says it's bitter affliction. It's bitter affliction. And the sickness, like Isaiah 1 says, it's just from top to bottom, head to toe. This is from the New York Times about that plot to kidnap the Michigan governor last year, or I guess this would have been in 2020. in the lead up to the presidential election that the communists stole. And then, of course, the January 6th insurrection hoax. Michigan was a trial run, as Darren Beatty has pointed out over at Revolver.News. This was a practice run. Get the feds in there. Get the feds to incite everything. It says here, the FBI deployed at least 12 informants, as well as several undercover agents, according to defense filings. On the nighttime surveillance operation of the government's cottage, for example, the defense described Big Dan as the main organizer. Stephen Robeson, with a long history of both past crimes and work as an informant, was there too. The explosives expert, who could topple the bridge, was actually an undercover FBI agent, as was a man in another vehicle. So, in other words, it was the feds that were coordinating this, and they were trying to lure in Trump supporters to be part of this operation. This is the United States government trying to entrap people. Sam gave me this long article last week from BuzzFeed. It's from last July. It's called Watching the Watchmen. Thousands of words here. And what struck me, this is basically about the Michigan operation and all of these feds that were in there, not just observing undercover. They were coordinating. They were planning. They were inciting. They were recruiting. And so many of these people that were framed, they're now saying, we never would have even gone on with this plan were it not for the feds. I read this BuzzFeed article over the weekend and I just sit there and think, oh, so here's another article. It's just kind of moved into the news cycle for a few days and then it disappeared. It's just so matter of fact. Oh yeah, the feds have always done this. They've always had undercover operations where they've been, you know, informing or observing. We got to stop crime, right? Well, now the Obama deep state, it has been so thoroughly corrupted that they're not only observing or trying to catch crime before it happens, they're guilty of criminal behavior. This is terrifying stuff. If you don't know a bit about Bible prophecy, I would read this and begin to be worried about the state of the nation, about our safety. It says here, all of this evidence is from the BuzzFeed piece. So you got the New York Times. They're admitting it now. These are the propagandists in the press. And they just report on it. Yeah, that's right. The guy that was going to blow up the bridge, Fed. The one that organized the meeting in Dublin, Ohio, Fed, yeah. Hardly anybody was going to show up, but he really kept pushing and pushing, telling these people on Facebook and wherever, look, you got to get to the meeting in Dublin. We've got some plans. It's just like Ray Epps. We got to go into the Capitol. It's the same thing, the same spirit. It says here, all of this evidence underscores the extremely active and coercive role the CHS has played in this matter, wrote Scott Graham, Caleb Franks' attorney, in a motion filed last week. So again, this is an old article. It's from July of last year. But in light of what happened on January 6th, just a couple months later, and you know the story because you've watched this program. The head of the field office in Detroit, he was then moved to D.C. right before Jan 6, overseeing another federally sponsored insurrection or plot to try to ensnare as many Trump people into it as possible. And this is vile behavior coming from the FBI. This is the FBI targeting Americans for their political views. It says here, many of the defense attorneys have argued that the Watchmen would never have been involved in any kind of plot at all if it weren't for Dan. Dan's referred to in the New York Times piece. Dan was the instigator. Dan was the one who coordinated the plot. Dan was a Fed. That's right. Wouldn't have happened were it not for the feds. It says here, it was Dan too, they said, who had brought Fox into the group despite objections from multiple watchmen, that he seemed crazy. Dan was recruiting crazy people. Now, I'm sure there were a few crazy Trump supporters that were lured in. But in what kind of an America are they being lured in by the FBI, the Department of Justice, lured in to frame them, just like they did with General Flynn, just like they tried to do with Donald Trump for 4 long years. They're still attacking Donald Trump with the January 6th Commission. They're still going after him because of his business, his real estate business. You've got this crazed communist attorney in New York City that just won't let up. And you notice there's no charges. There's just the headlines. Oh, yeah, Trump exaggerated. That's right. He exaggerated his wealth. He needs to go to prison. Who's exaggerating here? Donald Trump? Donald Trump leading an insurrection on January 6th? And yet that's the way they still report it. That's the way they still frame it. It was Dan, they said, who brought in the crazy man. It was Dan along with Robeson, another informant, who had supported Fox's kidnapping plan. And Dan, who acted as the personal chauffeur to the Watchmen, Fox, and others to ensure they had every opportunity to conspire. He even provided snacks. The meeting in Dublin, Ohio, the feds paid for people's travel expenses so that they could get to this meeting, where the feds could then stir up, we got to do some action. We're tired of what they're doing in Michigan. We got to kidnap the governor. We got to go into the Capitol. These people are being exposed, and they can't help themselves, can they? Oh, it's been a pleasure working for President Obama. Oops, did I say Obama? 5 years on. You know what? Again, I don't want to harp on the Tomorrow's News Today, but look, I got to show you. This is the anniversary edition of The Trumpet, and there's the very first, the article on page one, Barack Obama exposed. Who's been telling you from day one? Who has been telling you who's behind all of this? And my father, in the opening of the article, he says, in the fall of 2020, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe declassified critical documents exposing the fact that the Steele dossier and the plot against Donald Trump traced all the way up to top officials in the Obama administration, including President Barack Obama himself. And my father goes to little notes from Brennan and Obama, whoever, in 2016, the summer of 2016. And it was Antiochus. It was Barack Obama. It was John Brennan. It was those people who were in a really involved plot, a nefarious plot to take down Donald Trump. We got to make sure he doesn't make it, like Strzok and Page texted to each other. We need an insurance policy. Oh, these Trump supporters, I can smell them. They stink. I'm driving through Virginia and I smell them all over the place. They're the enemy, you see. And it's a war, as we've been saying. And 2 Kings 14 says that Donald Trump's going to have to war to regain what's been stolen from him. We'll see how that this plays out in the weeks and months ahead. I was telling the students this morning in Doctrines that, you know, that prophecy in Habakkuk about the years of the court case and some to use the language of 2 Kings 14, the bitter affliction of those years when we had to stop printing and distributing Incredible Human Potential, Mystery of the Ages, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. And the prophet Habakkuk saying, how long are the righteous going to be surrounded by the evildoers? How long is there going to be this kind of corruption in the judicial system? God intervened. He intervened there in 2002 and 2003. He gave us all the material, all of Mr. Armstrong's writings. We're the only church that has all of those writings of Herbert Armstrong. That tells you a lot about who's following in Mr. Armstrong's steps. You know, there's a lot of groups out there that claim to be following in his steps. But look at the fruits. Look at Herbert W. Armstrong College. We're into our 21st, 22nd year. All these years, 30-some years with the Trumpet magazine. And you get to this anniversary issue, and it's talking about our nations, the English-speaking peoples, and yet the very first article, Barack Obama Exposed. Why would we write about that? It's 5 years on afterwards. Well, because we know about the quiet part. Jen Psaki can't help herself at times. She accidentally says the quiet part out loud. But we know all about it. We know who's behind it. We know whose term this really and truly is. This is Barack Obama's third term. This is from my father's article in July last year. Mr. Trump did not literally have to war to save Israel during his first term, though he did have to fight to expose all the fraudulent investigations, treasonous acts, and bogus impeachments. There are different ways you can war, but the indication is that regaining office may take considerable work. Donald Trump will have to fight for it. He'll have to fight for it. And he doesn't have a lot of helpers, as that same prophecy brings out. They just, it's amazing how people will compromise if there's just intense pressure put upon them. Pressure from the radical left. Pressure from communists. Pressure, people that intimidate the opposition into silence. Don't you dare talk about a stolen election if it's 2020. Any other year, that's fine. Any other year that the Democrats lose, of course we talk stolen elections. They're talking stolen elections already for the next two. But 2020, no, you can't go there. If you do, you're an insurrectionist. And we've got the feds working on trapping you. We've got the feds working on framing you. We've got big tech supporting us as well to blot out anyone who would dare speak the truth, who would dare go against the narrative that we're here to promote. Well, as I say, the deeper we get into this attack, the more this dumpster fire rages on, the harder and harder it is for the communists to try to cover up what's actually happening, the disaster on every front. Listen to Chuck Todd from yesterday's show, one of the Sunday talk shows, clip one.
President Biden's news conference on Wednesday was designed to kick off a second year reset of his presidency. Recapture his political identity, if you will. But our new NBC News poll suggests Mr. Biden does need a reset because he's lost his identity a bit. He's no longer seen as competent and effective. He's no longer seen as a good commander-in-chief, or perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president. One of the many lowest firsts and fewests in our poll.
No longer seen as competent or effective? And only 5% say that he's performed better than expected. These are not weak poll numbers. These are catastrophic figures. And like Conservative Treehouse brings out, they say, keep in mind NBC polls are done by Mark Murray, a notorious manipulative pollster for media scripts. As a result, when NBC presents a bad polling outcome for any Democrat, you can be positive the outcome is far worse. It's even worse. This is why they're panicking. Because it's even worse than what these polls suggest. Listen again to Chuck Todd from yesterday, clip two.
The president's job approval rating sitting at 43%. If you look at history shows that kind of presidential approval rating leads to a shellacking for the party in power. How about the mood of the nation? Well, let me show you this right now. Our wrong track, nation's on the wrong track number, sitting at 72%. Second poll in a row where we've been over 70%. This is only the third time in our poll's history over 30 years where we've had two tracks that were that off. That, again, would put you in shellacking territory for the party in power.
Shellacking territory, he says twice. They're about to be shellacked, which is why they're hysterical on the voting rights legislation that failed last week as well. They got to get that through because they need all of these fake ballots floating around if they're going to be able to hold on to power. What is it now, 28 or so Democrats in the House that aren't even running for re-election? Because they know what's coming. And there's going to be more months of this ahead, no matter how some of them in the media try to spin it. In the case of Chuck Todd yesterday, as you just heard there, he can't spin it. He can't spin this in a way where it makes Biden look like he's doing a good job. Only 5% think he's doing better than what was advertised coming in. I mean, Joe Biden himself is among the 5%. He said in his press conference last week that he didn't go back on promises and such. He's outperformed expectations. Unbelievable. This is what is this? Switching over. That's NBC. This is CNN. I'm not sure. I think this might be a Republican guest at the roundtable. But watch Anderson Cooper. No reaction. He's just sitting there, stone-faced, listening to this man talk about how disastrous the past year has been. Clip 4.
I never imagined how quickly this would all unfold. The person they sold on the campaign, the nice old, you know, moderate grandpa who just wanted to help everybody get along and compromise, is not what we got over the last year. He has no mandate really to do much of anything. It's amazing that he got a couple of things done when the mandate was really pretty clear. 50-50 Senate, a near 50-50 House, and a pretty close presidential election. The mandate was simply replace Donald Trump and don't do anything drastic or stupid. And everything about this agenda is extremely drastic. And he's been angrier than I think people expected. He's been more divisive. He's been more partisan. You look at the issues. We built 5 years of coverage on Trump out of Russia, COVID, and democracy. The president at his press conference invites Russia to invade the Ukraine. We got more deaths under Biden than Trump. And now we have the president and vice president and leading Democrats question the legitimacy of the 2022 election. Are we any better off on these three issues that we crucified Trump over? I think he has a lot of political problems. And an AP poll came out this morning. Only 28% of Americans want the sitting president to run for re-election, and fewer than half of Democrats. This is a disaster.
He's right. It's a disaster. And even the communists, they can't get away with spinning this. This next one, this is now CBS. So these are all the big networks. CBS on Face the Nation yesterday, I think it's about a 15-minute segment. We've condensed it down to 2 minutes. But they've got this focus group. And I don't know if all six of them were Biden voters, but several of them are. And you can see it. Just look for the chyrons, I guess, at the bottom to get a little more detail. But listen to this host as she goes one by one to the six individuals in this focus group to try to find out if there's anything that's better now than it was just a year ago. Clip 3.
Who feels like we are in a better place now than we were a year ago? Show of hands. No one believes we're in a better spot now.
I think this whole country is suffering from COVID fatigue at this point. It has become confusing and depressing.
So why don't you think we're in a better place?
Well, I don't know if we are in a better place as a country. Not.
So when you hear President Biden say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, Jill, do you feel like he's talking about you?
Not at all. Not at all. Because I work with someone who's vaccinated and has had the booster and they've had COVID 3 times. So I'm not buying that.
That's part of the problem that we've had is the misinformation. When your leader is saying one thing and then it's not true, you begin to question that.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling more confident these days?
No, not really. The messaging has been really confusing. Things are just as bad as they were when the pandemic started.
Do you feel that Washington understands what all of you are experiencing out there? Beth is shaking her head no. I mean, so many of you are.
I really had such high hopes for this administration when they came in. And it's just been one disaster after another. Afghanistan, inflation, take your pick. I just don't understand.
My life has not improved. COVID has not improved. Biden has not, you know, stuck to any of his promises. I don't think anyone in Washington is really for working people.
Do any of you feel like the economy has gotten better in the past year? All of you are saying no.
Even though I can barely afford bacon.
Do you blame the president? Do you blame the central bankers? Or do you blame Congress?
Congress is worthless. Sad. I need for the government to stop spending so much money on things that are worthless. That are not going to benefit the people. Waste of money.
Here's what's wrong with our administration. The administration came in and said, you know what? We're going to do everything opposite of what Trump did.
Opposite of Trump. In other words, America last. America last. This is what these people of the focus group see. America that's in last place. An America where the Keystone Pipeline's canceled, where jobs are destroyed, where the border is wide open at the South. Even as officials in D.C. talk on and on about Ukraine's territorial integrity and its borders. And they're right to express some concern over what's happening in Ukraine. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it, but I mean, these are some pretty earth-shaking developments in Eastern Europe. Russia's on the march. Nobody's stopping them. Tweets coming from the fake administration in the White House is not going to deter Vladimir Putin. And Germany, of all nations, is cozying up to Russia and distancing itself from the U.S. The fake president says to the new German chancellor, hey, let's get on for a video chat and talk about this Ukraine thing. And the chancellor says, thanks, but no thanks. I'm kind of busy right now. 100,000 troops lining up next to Ukraine, and the German chancellor has no time for fake President Biden. I mean, leave aside that he's fake. When does this happen? When does Germany, since the end of World War II, when does Germany just dismiss the leader of NATO, the leader of the free world, the president of the United States? It happened last week. Even as Germany begins to get together with other officials in Europe, the days of NATO are numbered. Europe is moving forward at Germany's lead. And the United States, they may talk about sending some troops to Europe and this and that. But it's not going to slow down Vladimir Putin. It's not going to slow down the alliance forming between Putin and China. It's not going to slow down Germany spearheading the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Both those clips talked about the COVID fatigue. The commentator that was on with CNN. And then these people say, look, we're 2 years into it. They say, listen to that. You hear the main networks, NBC, CBS, CNN. This was on Bill Maher's show. I think he's on HBO on Friday nights. Listen to this liberal commentator. This is a communist through and through. Her name's Barry Weiss, I believe. And listen to her candid admission to Bill Maher on Friday night, clip 5.
I'm done with COVID. I'm done. I went so hard on COVID.
I remember.
Sprayed the Pringles cans that I bought at the grocery store, stripped my clothes off because I thought COVID would be on my clothes. And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry, if you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron. And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime.
A catastrophic moral crime, says a left-wing commentator who runs a podcast, and she obeyed all the rules. And she says, I've had enough. She's just like the tens of thousands of protesters in Brussels and London over the weekend. Brussels, by the way, looked like a war zone in some places. People attacking the police and the police spraying tear gas. And commentators can try to dismiss this. Oh, just a few hundred people in London, as tens of thousands show up. And they're protesting what? These fascist mandates coming from people like Biden, who say we've just got to continue This is from the Wall Street Journal, an economic evaluation of COVID lockdowns. It says, in early 2020, University of Chicago economists estimated that about 80% of the total damage from COVID came from prevention efforts that hindered economic activity, and only 20% from the direct effects of the disease itself. The damage, 80% of it brought on by the way governments responded to the virus. In other words, the lockdowns, the mandates, the vaccines. 80%. The cure, and you heard it, you heard this at the Trump at first. Way back in the early summer of 2020, the cure is killing us. Yet another article in the Wall Street Journal. These people, even on the left, many of them, have had enough. You're seeing nations like the UK, Ireland, just lifting restrictions. That's it. It's over. And then the places where they're not, tens of thousands of people taking to the streets. And commentators like the one you just heard there. You think the crowd was for or against what this Barry Weiss had to say on Bill Maher's show? Well, listen for yourself. Clip six.
That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. I think it's a pandemic. It's like at this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy.
A pandemic of bureaucracy. She is spot on. She's completely right. And that's why, as she says, we need to end it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
When writing about his conversion to the truth back in the 1920s, Herbert Armstrong talked about how that in the process of repentance, surrendering to God, he mentioned it that it was like taking a bitter pill because he really had to humble himself. His great swelling vanity and ego had been punctured, and it was humiliating. And yet he said it led to this relationship with God, this unspeakable joy upon accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He said, I began to see everything in a new and different light. Why should it have been a difficult and painful experience to surrender to my Maker and my God? You can find all of this in his autobiography. See the number there on the screen. Call our operators and request. A wonderful book, by the way. A large book. A wonderful summer read if you want to take the time to go through hundreds and hundreds of pages of inspiration. Just call our operators and request the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. It's 1-866-930-3024. He said, why was it painful to surrender, to obey God's right ways? He said, I came to a new outlook on life. And he talks about this two-way conversation that he kept going with God through prayer and Bible study. But listen to this regarding his study of God's Word. He says, so I continued to study the study of the Bible. I began to write in article form the things I was learning. I did not then suppose these articles would ever be published. I wrote them for my own satisfaction. It was one way to learn more by the study. Here at God's College, we've really been emphasizing the importance of writing and term papers and assignments such as that, because it just really does serve as a wonderful prod to just get us all to think more deeply on these subjects. And in Mr. Armstrong, I mean, here he was writing papers. That shows some kind of attitude and willingness to dig into God's truth, to dig into God's word. He wrote it because he knew it would help him to understand the subject more deeply, to get more out of his study. It says here, from the beginning of the new Spirit-led life, I wrote in article form the thrilling new truths being unfolded in this continuous, almost night and day study. He was so excited, thrilled at the thought of learning the truth. John 8 says that the truth is what sets us free. Mr. Armstrong rejoiced in that freedom. He says, as I've mentioned, having been a trained magazine and advertising copywriter, the results of these studies were written up purely for my own benefit in article form. My wife began showing these articles to some women members of this Church of God who lived in Salem, and soon they began to urge me to preach before them. But becoming a preacher was the very last thing I had ever wanted to do. I felt an instinctive aversion to the idea. Meanwhile, on their urging, a few of these articles had been mailed to the Bible Advocate in Stanbury, Missouri, and these articles began appearing on the front page. So those articles that he thought was just for his own personal benefit. Well, as it turns out, God really used Mr. Armstrong as a gifted communicator and writer to communicate God's truth, to proclaim the true gospel, to teach the truth of the Bible, the plain truth. If you think about God, our maker, our creator, he's also, and I've brought this point out before on the show, he's also our educator. It says in The Missing Dimension in Sex, this is another book by Herbert Armstrong, the very first need of the first man and the first woman was to be given essential knowledge. That is humanity's first need today, but humanity has rejected that essential knowledge. We've rejected that essential knowledge, and God wants to give us the truth. He wants to educate us. He wants us to dig into our study of his word the way that Herbert Armstrong did back in the 1920s and 30s. Look at what came out from that study, all the articles and the booklets and the books and the sermons and the radio broadcasts and the TV shows. We need teachers sent from God. God wants to use teachers to teach as many others as possible. This is brought out in 2 Timothy 2. Where Paul said to Timothy, well, he told him in chapter 1, everybody in Asia has fallen away from the truth. Now you need to go out and make sure that you raise up other leaders, other teachers, so that they can teach. This is God's way. We've got to always, always be thinking about giving it to the next person, giving it to the children, giving it to the oncoming generation. This is why we see our nations in such bad shape today. Again, the fall of the English-speaking peoples. That's the latest Trumpet magazine anniversary issue, February 2022. Satan has a stranglehold on the system of education in our nations. And so many of our young people, the young generation, it's being brainwashed. It's being fed a steady diet of communist ideology. And these young people, they open their mouths and they don't know what they're saying. They're ignorant of the truth, so many of them. There's some rare exceptions, but they are rare. You find quite a few of them on this campus. People that are actually, young people that are actually reasoning together with God, as it says in Isaiah 1. Reasoning together with God, bringing God into our reasoning, bringing God into our education. Notice John 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. So God was with Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus was a scholar, a Jewish scholar of his day, but he was an honest one, honest enough to admit that Jesus was a teacher from God. I mean, just acknowledging that, I mean, that puts us in a pretty good position. Nicodemus should have followed through on this thinking and said that, well, if he's a teacher from God, I want to be one of his disciples. I don't want to be among the Pharisees. He had to go to Christ by night because he was probably too afraid of the pressure, the intimidation tactics. Satan loves to do that, as I said in the first segment. He loves to pressure us into submitting to him and his way of life. God wants us to voluntarily submit to him, the God of the universe, and to the education and truth of the Bible. That essential knowledge that we all need to build our lives on top of. Jesus in John 5 said that I can of my own self do nothing. So he went to God. He cried out to God for help, for instruction, for guidance. Here in John 3, this word for teacher, a lot of times it's translated as master in the New Testament. That's what teachers used to be. They used to be the master. They used to have authority. They used to even, back in the day, they used to even be able to punish students. Those days are long gone. Today, the teachers themselves are brainwashed, so many of them. They're steeped in communist ideology. And really, there's no government, there's no authority on campuses. Certainly not God's authority. But here's someone who acknowledged that, yeah, Jesus, you are a master, you are a teacher, and you came from God. This is from Incredible Human Potential. It says, God is first of all creator, but God is also ruler, and he is educator who reveals knowledge beyond and outside the scope of human mind of itself to comprehend. So we need to be hungry for that essential knowledge. We need to be hungry for that godly reasoning, that godly common sense and logic. There is very little common sense. You saw that in one of the clips we played in the first segment. More and more people are seeing that, yeah, we're just sheeple. We've just been going along. Oh, yeah, it's what? Put on one mask? Two. Okay, two. Get two jabs? No, three. Four jabs? Okay, four jabs. Israel, the little nation of Israel in the Middle East, has gotten four jabs. Most Israelis, a lot of Israelis, I mean, they've had more vaccinations in that little nation, percentage-wise, probably than just about any other nation. And they're leading the way with infections. Omicron. And yet people just continue to go right along. I guess this is normal. I guess this must be normal. It's a normal age. Yep, John Stockton, we got to take away his tickets at Gonzaga because, well, he doesn't wear a mask. So the lifelong, probably the most famous graduate to come out of Gonzaga, he gets his tickets, his season tickets. Who knows how much he's donated to Gonzaga over the years? Who knows how much money and fame he's brought to Gonzaga? But he can't even go to the game. He can't go see a game at his alma mater because these communists that are at the top tier of the government in that university, they're more concerned about people not wearing a mask than they are about students being indoctrinated. It's an upside down world. Welcome to it. Welcome to the upside down world. What do we need most from God? We need essential knowledge. And happy for us, God, he wants to give it to us. He wants to educate us with it. Mr. Armstrong, well, I won't read the quote. He says in the autobiography, you know, I really had a curious mind as a youth. His father thought he was going to be a Philadelphia lawyer because he always wanted to know how and why. He always had questions. And we need to be that way spiritually, curious, asking God for understanding, asking him for essential knowledge. It says here, this is from the autobiography, put a question in the minds of readers that they really want answered. Well, Mr. Armstrong's talking here about how that he wrote articles and how that he wanted to arouse interest and then answer questions that were there in the minds of readers. Notice 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the eternal God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give an answer. Don't be pushy. Don't try to indoctrinate people. But children are naturally curious. They're going to have lots of questions. And so when they ask questions, you better be ready to give an answer. You better be ready to teach. My father talks, by the way, a lot about this this verse in this wonderful book, The Epistles of Peter, a living hope, a hope-filled message contained in this little booklet. Peter, he was about to be martyred for God, and yet he was filled with joy. He was filled with hope, and he was ready to answer. He was ready to teach. It says in this little booklet, the Bible is Jesus Christ in print. What a mind-jarring blessing this book is for God's very elect. We must know the mind of God and be deeply grounded in the Bible in order to have the hope that we need. We've got to be grounded in the Bible, the Word of God, if we're going to be hope-filled, if we're going to be filled with joy in this world where there's just so much darkness and discouragement and despair. It says here, as he wrote, Peter knew his own death was imminent. Christ had told him. It says, Peter faced death and other serious problems, yet his writing contains the greatest hope of any book in the Bible. Peter faced situations far worse than any we have faced. How could you know you were about to die and not be anxious about that? How can you have deep hope in the midst of fiery trials? He says, Peter shows us how. Peter shows us how to have deep hope, even when we're in the midst of fiery trials. He really did meditate on God's law. He really did immerse himself into the study of God's word. And he remained hope-filled all the way through to the end of his physical life. We tell our young people at college and in the academy and at SCP, my father certainly did last summer, he told them that they need to grow up fast. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 13, Ephesians 4. Grow up. Spiritually, we all need to grow up and mature and seek counsel from God and seek education and essential knowledge from God. We ought to be, Paul said in Hebrews 5 that, you know, right now you should be farther along than where you are. You ought to be able to really digest strong meat, spiritually speaking. But for some of you, and this is sometimes the case, when people neglect their studies, sometimes God's servants need to go back and cover the milk of the word when we should be really getting into the meat of God's truth. Well, for all of us, it's a battle day in and day out to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Call our operators and request the Epistles of Peter, A Living Hope. That's 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.